Now, I know what you're thinking, but you're safe here. It's okay to not be okay, and self-love is always going to be the best love. Self-care is going to be the best care. Now, join me as we let out some steam, become a little less stressed and more carefree. Come join me over our weekend detox, and let's detox together, because we always want to protect our energy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Weekend Detox with Reiku, featuring my uncle, and also kudos to having the intro like video back. Well, for those who actually used to remember the actual video portion of this segment, but because of work schedules, this is just strictly audio. But welcome back to the audio section of the welcome video for you guys. Again, it's Reiku and her lovely uncle today, and we're here to talk a couple subjects for you. Well, this is going to be a two-part episode, so it's going to be one episode and then you guys will hear the other part later down on, but we're recording in one sitting. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you were not aware, there is a lovely gentleman on this line right now. Would he like to say hi?
I would like to say hi. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's having a good day and you're ready to listen to this beautiful podcast that we have planned for you guys.
Amazing, amazing. If you guys remember my Uncle Terry, he has been on a few episodes back in June, but we have missed him dearly because of work schedule and conflict, but we managed to get him on for not one, but two episodes to see if we can make this a steady flow going forward. So I'm bringing him on today. So we're going to sit here and talk about a subject that I wanted to talk about back on Father's Day time frame and talk about a subject, and me and him, we've been kind of dancing around it a little bit since then. And the subject at hand is talking about, are you the person that you would like your daughter or son to marry or be with? As a person who's part of the LGBTQ community, I always try to still be an upstanding person. I always fight with my morals quite often. And a lot of people sit here say that they are trying to be the best man that they could be, or they could be the best female that they could be. You guys know that I used to talk about my ex a lot earlier this year. God, my uncle is so tired. Was so tired of hearing me talking about that man. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're definitely right.
But the thing is, this man thought he was such a righteous man, and it had me kind of pondering around the subject a little bit and think about it. I don't know if you guys remember a couple episodes back in like season one, we talked about that as girls, when we come and look for our partners, we're looking for men who are equivalent to our fathers, because essentially we grow up, or we hold the old wives' tale of, we tend to marry our fathers. So the question that kind of posed to me is, are you kind of, or are you growing into the person you wish or that you hope your child will be with? Because ultimately, you are the first reflection of what a man is or what a woman is to your child. My uncle, if you guys don't know, he does have a daughter. And it was a question I did pose to him a while ago, closer to Father's Day, which I was like, are you the man that you want your daughter to date? So the question I'm going to ask you for now, for the live audience, or for the audience for wherever they're listening to on Spotify, Google, or even Amazon at this point, because we did expand our platform. Are you the man that you want your daughter to marry or to be with?
Am I the man I want my daughter to be with?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, absolutely not. But the man that my daughter sees me as, that's the person that I would want her to be with. Now, let me kind of make sense of what I'm saying.
I was about to ask, elaborate on that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to make sense of what that means. Because me, the me that she don't see, the brokenness, the things that I've been through, like all of that stuff. That's not a type of person I would want her to be with. Now the person that she see me as, I'm always happy, we're always laughing, we're always joking. You know, the way that I treat her not being allowed to open car doors, you know, the way that I'm always there for her. You know, whenever she needs little things, I'm always there, like the perfect gentleman for her. That's the type of person I would want her to be with or marry.
Okay, so then the question I do have to ask you is because this is something I've talked to my partner about recently, is do you feel as though that you might be giving her a false narrative of what a man is, though? When you're not showing or you're shying away from showing her those dark parts of yourself, what's not to say that she may not see even darker sides of another man? Like abuse, or even in a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual thing, if you sit here and shy away that vulnerability, then your daughter's gonna feel like a man should never be able to be vulnerable with her because that shows a sign of weakness. Honestly, I feel like if you're able to show your daughter when you're sad or when you're upset and when you're having some hardships, even if it's just a little, or at least explain it to her, she can have a better understanding and depth of it, and then she doesn't hinder a man later down the line where he feels as though he can't be open with her. If that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. It makes a lot of sense. At the age my daughter is now, I don't think that that's something she needs to see. I don't think that's something that needs to be embedded in her.
Well, I'm not saying now, I'm just saying later down the line. Would you slowly
Later down.
introduce her to something like that?
Absolutely. I would.
Because I
Because
honestly, go
that's
ahead.
something she needs. That's something she needs to know. You know, when she get of age today, she needs to know about, like I said, abuse. She needs to know about manipulation. She needs to know about gaslighting. She needs to know about narcissism. She needs to know about all of that stuff.
And the reason why I pose this up as a question is because the fact of being, I have two different parents. I have two different parents. I had two different households. My mother, who I lived with until I was about 15, little before my 15th birthday, I, with her, she was very transparent, very open with me. She showed me the good, the bad, the ugly of the world. And then it was, she made sure I had the executive decision on whether or not I wanted to conform to my situation, or she also taught me how to question things and to kind of see through the stain, the glass, rose co colored glasses, in a sense, as everybody always say. So my mom taught me that. When my dad tried to show me that narrative. Now, when I started living with my dad, I was, roughly just turned 15 all the way until I was about 18 years old. So, in those 3 years of living with him, I got that narrative that a lot of parents put on their kids where they don't show the bad. They only show, oh, mommy and daddy's making it work, bills are paid, food on the table, roof over your head. But no arguments, no fights, no disagreements. My dad did have moments where he'll just lock himself in the room, and that's where I kind of get it from time to time, versus, dealing with stuff. And he was very old school militant, where like emotions were like, we don't express it. Children are meant to be seen, not heard, and don't be in grown folks' business. So, and even when they even said, "But don't be in grown folks' business," you had no way of learning or understanding how to balance a checkbook or anything like that. Or my mom tried to show me how to do those things, and that's something I have to give my mom a lot of credit for. But she also showed me that men could be vulnerable, men could be emotional, men could be manipulative, men could be this. Like, my mom showed me the good, the bad, the ugly, and to question it. So I grew up in two different environments where I have to thank my mother, despite the environment I was in towards the end of me living with her. I learned a lot from, a lot more than what I did in the 3 years living with my father, if that makes
Right.
any sense. But at the same
Yeah.
time, it took me into the narrative of I realized that I date more men like my father than I did my abuser, which is a great thing. Like, I have to definitely commend myself on that, knowing the difference between an abuser and then somebody like my father. My father's not the best person when it comes emotionally, because it seems like he's constantly torn between being super emotional and that militant side and that old school narrative of that men ain't supposed to cry, they're just supposed to do and stuff like that. And one thing I'm learning with my partner is he is still kind of that old school way of, I don't need to, like, my emotions don't really need to be there. My health is not important as long as everybody else is taken care of. And I keep having to remind him, I'm like, look, yo, you need to chill out. Like, if you're not here, then it defeats the purpose. Like, you chill out. We want you to be here for a while. but the thing is, like, you have to take in consideration if you sit here, and even for dads, when you have daughters, we're looking at how you raise us. We're looking at how you deal with stuff. We take on, as women, we take on a lot of different things where we're not only looking at how you're raising us, but we're also looking at how you are with kids, how you are with handling life situations, because now we're not only looking for partners to be the same way, we also have that same perspective. So if you sit here and you hide your emotions away and you do all this other stuff and you tell your daughter it's okay to cry, but she's looking at you like, why are you not crying? Oh, well, because that's not what daddies do. Oh my God, that is not what I need to do. Somebody is calling me in the middle of a podcast. So ultimately, I have to remind people, like, yo, like, when it comes down to it, your daughters see everything. Your sons see everything. And when it comes down to what you're doing and how you're doing and what you're going to blow about it, you have to kind of take a moment and sit down and realize the way I'm raising my child is reflection of who they're going to be and who they're going to be looking to for their prospective partners. Even if your child may be part of the LGBTQ community, they may be looking at their partners like, what characteristics of my mother or my father am I looking to? Because we're destined to go to what's familiar to us.
I definitely understand that. And the way I take care of my child. So whoever comes after me, it's not gonna be easy for them, and that's fine. I like how you said when you said about, parents not teaching how to balance checkbooks and stuff like that. I to this day still do not know how to write a check. If I have to write a check, I'm Googling how to write a check. And that's why, when it comes to finances, my daughter has her own bank account right now, and I'm teaching her how to manage money. I'm teaching her that, yeah, you have everything you want, you have everything you need. Whenever you ask for something, you get it. And I'm trying to teach her that money don't grow on trees. And, she'll get to the point now where she'll say, Daddy, can I have such and such? If you can't do it right now, I understand. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
And the thing is, like, you know what? I have to say, like, back to the whole how I was raised in two different households. My mom raised me to be the way that I am now when it comes to relationships, where I'm trying to be now. I'm not gonna say I'm fully there because I'm still learning. But my mom showed me how to be independent but still submissive to the right man. If they're showing me and allowing me to lead, allowing them to lead. While my father was, I don't want you to be dependent to no man. I want you to do all bad by yourself. And if a man leaves you, he can't say, well, everything you got was because of me, XYZ. So I look at it as this. It's kind of like one parent may have helped me in certain aspects of my life, and the other parent may have hindered me or may have helped me. But it's at the same time where, like, because of the things that I've gone through and the things that I see and the things that I'm trying to handle and the things that I want to be able to do, it's kind of hard for my partners because I'm very superficial. I'm very, like, if I don't know how to do it, I'm gonna sit here and learn how to do it. But it, at the same time, because I question everything because of my mother, my mom made sure I question. My dad hated that I question every fucking thing. My dad was full blown. I already know how to make it work. I'm telling you how it needs to work, my way or the highway. Where my mom is like, if you don't agree with me or you have other data, bring it to me and we can talk. My mom has always been about that. I'm a very intelligent child growing up. I was always an intelligent child. I was in middle school doing high school work and in high school doing college work. Like, I've never been stupid. I act naive quite often. I do. But there's a narrative behind that. Like, I give you enough rope to hang yourself with, and if you think that I'm gullible, you got me fucked up. Like, you'll have me fucked up every single time. But I play it real well. I play that naive card well, as most women do. It's a form of manipulation. Every woman got it. I can admit that. But I give you enough benefit because I want to see the kindness and genuine in everybody. So if you fuck me over, and I know that you're fucking me over, believe me, I already know. Well, it is. But my mom had me always question things. And I'm gonna always question things because I'm very inquisitive. I've always been very inquisitive because I may not have all the answers. I don't admit that I have all the answers, but I'm willing to learn. One thing I love about the person I'm with now is he doesn't get mad at me for always questioning things. He's always very straightforward and honest with me and very truthful. And the thing is, even if he is older than me, like he is like, you know, years older than me, a decade or so older than me, and he at least listens to me, and he at least, you know, takes in consideration of what I'm saying, and we have conversations where it's very thought-provoking. It's not surface level conversations, and that's something I love, which is those things that I used to have with my mother. Ironically enough, they say that we typically try to date our fathers, and ironically enough, me and my dad don't have deep conversations like me and the guy that I'm with now. The guy that I'm with now is more reminds me of more like the conversations I have with my mother, where we can sit here and have goofy conversations, but intellectual conversations, thought-provoking conversations, and stuff like that. So it's funny, if I sat down and said that I'm dating my dad, in a sense, yes, I'm actually dating both my parents with this person. And I think that's the reason why I'm so in love with him and I see an end game with him, is because he's literally the best version of both my parents.
See, I've never dated anybody who I could say was like my mother. Never. And honestly, I never would have.
Do you think that you might be dating women because you have mommy issues and you're looking for women who are more caretakers?
Absolutely not.
So, what do you be looking for in women?
I look for an equal partner.
Okay, so you look for an equal partner. So, I have a question for you on this part because you have a history. I mean, we all have a history when it comes down to it. I can't honestly say I tried to date my father, as they say in theory, like, you know, like daughters always try to date their fathers or they look for men who are similar to their fathers. I can say there's been a lot of men in my life that was nothing like my father. So with you also saying that in theory, the women that you've dated in your life, are they anything like your mother? They don't have any qualities at all, not even a slither of qualities that are familiar to your mother. So here's a theory, because my grandfather is a business mindset. Do you think that some of these women that you're dating have those qualities that you got from my grandfather, your father?
What type of qualities?
That business mindset, that equality mindset.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, in a sense, you may not be dating women who are like your mother. You're dating more women who have the same qualities of your father and that bond that you have. Because my grandfather, if he wasn't with who he's with now, I think he would be more or less with somebody who, I don't think he would be with anybody else. My grandfather's too dominant, and I feel like the moment a woman tries to overstep their bounds in his life and try to tell him what it is, he might just like walk the fuck out. Because that's just my grandfather. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right about that.
But he likes to eat, so I gotta say it. My grandfather, honestly, my grandfather and my mother are the two people I can sit here and have long ass conversations. One, because my granddaddy could talk my fucking ear off, because he know how to talk. He has a gift for gab, 100%. But he will tell you some shit that will really make you think.
And I do that a lot too.
And that's something I love. And the thing is, it's just funny, like, I date more people similar to my mom's side of the family than I do on my dad's side. Like, don't get me wrong, it's weird. I had to sit down and literally break down the dude that I'm talking to. And, like, I'm like, he has a lot of qualities of my mom's side, but then there's, like, he has, like, that funniness, like, my cousin, like, where he could just sit here and make me fucking laugh. And then he also had that quality, like my dad to an extent, where he's like, he'll talk to you and it seems like he's almost kind of stubborn in his ways, but then he's open like my mother. So it's like I get a balance of like some of the good qualities of my father in him and a lot of the good qualities of my mom that like I love, because like I said, my mom used to be my best friend. We could sit here and talk about everything. Like, no, I can't even say she used to be. Like, we're getting back to where we were. We're not 100% where we were, and I think that's going to take a long ass time to get there. But me and her could talk for hours and hours and hours about nonsense, and that's just it. So in a sense, I am dating someone who's essentially like both my parents. And it's just like, when it comes down to it, I think I even asked him, because he has three daughters. I asked my partner, I was like, are you literally the man that you want your daughters to date? He was like, that's weird. I was like, no, think about it. We typically date people who are similar to our parents. We typically end up with people who are similar to our parents. And I have to say, my ex-husband was similar to my dad to so many extents, but it's so funny. And this is the first person I have ever been with that has a lot of similarities to my mother. I would have damn near, if I would have looked at this as a younger version of myself, like my early 20s, and probably been irritated as fuck with him, because he would have reminded me of my mother. And at that time, I was really unhealed. I didn't care too much about people who reminded me of my mother. I barely could deal with my mother, but I dealt with her because she was my mother. But anybody who even remotely reminded me of her, I dated females who reminded me of my mother. And I was just like, nope, mm-mm. But it was all the bad qualities, not the good qualities. You feel me?
Yeah, I guess.
So, ultimately, though, right now, are you working... The question I have next is, are you working towards being the type of person, not just showing this persona to your daughter, but are you at least working towards to be in that true life version of that person you're showing your daughter?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely worked on it. I'm a lot better at it than what I used to be. But you have to have the right, you have to have the right person. I'm trying to do that for. I'm trying to think of a better way to say it.
You have to have the right motivation.
You have to have, yeah. You can say that, the right motivation. You have to have the person that makes you bring that. That you have to have a person that bring it out of you. Is what I'm trying to say.
True. Because the thing is, like, your kids should bring you out, but some people don't realize that. But sometimes kids don't even bring that out of you. I've seen a lot of people who don't become better people because of their children. Some people become better versions of themselves because of a partner. And you got kids here seeing the worst person of you, but then all of a sudden you want to change for your partner.
Look, my daughter is my world.
Because she's always going to be there. That's your tiny potato.
That's my world. And you know the hoops I jumped through for that kid.
She see here and say, Daddy, I need, and you be like, all right, baby. I've seen you literally go from being hard as fuck, and the moment your daughter asks you for something, you become the biggest softy. I was like, damn, like that? straight up seeing you drop people at a drop of a dime for her. And I'm like, I ain't even mad at you. Because even when your daughter was not there, you would literally still be physically, like, as present as possible. And you, I have to, like, I'm gonna boost your ego for a minute. I don't need to do it because honestly, you have a big enough fucking ego as it is. But
Big enough for both of us.
shit, I would tell you have a cold god complex over there. But
I'm like glimmering in gold right now.
see, I'm done. So for you guys who don't know, my uncle has gone through it. Like my uncle has a past. But the moment his daughter was born, I seen a side of my uncle that I've never seen before. Like this man, my uncle would never used to buy any friend thing for any woman. Like, don't get me wrong, he has a big ass heart. He would instantly every week be falling in love with a new woman. I'm sorry for putting you on blast for a brief moment, but there's a reason why this. But
Put me on blast like that. Make me seem like a whore bag or something. Jesus Christ.
I mean, stop. But he treats people good, despite him being a whore bag. But when it came to his daughter, he became this version of this man that I was so proud of. Like, he was in the military before she was born, and I loved him when he was there. And the military made him a better version of himself. But then when his daughter was born, he became like this person I've really, really respected and really, really looked up to. We're not that far apart in age, but when I tell you, my uncle, the moment his daughter was born, his whole world changed. And seeing him try to do whatever he could, where he's calling and being civil to his baby mama, even if he doesn't care for her too particularly, but that's still the woman. He respects her enough because that is the mother of his child. And he's not one of those people who's like, man, fuck her, this, that, and the other. No, he still tries to co-parent with his baby mama as best of his ability to make sure his daughter has not only him in his life, but her, and there's no fighting, and they're very civil. I mean, it was very rocky when it first started, but where he is now, I'm very proud of him. And honestly, a lot of men don't get to that point. And
I want to cry right now.
you better suck that shit up. But you know I'm right. You literally,
You're absolutely right. I
you
would
are.
never deny it. You know what type of person I was.
I know. And the thing is, like, a lot of other men and stuff, the things that you've gone through when it comes to your baby mama and your daughter, a lot of men would have given up. And you said here, your daughter was in a whole different part of the United States. You still made it very adamant to be a part of your child's life, play games with her, send her money, set her up with an account, made sure she had the shoes, the clothes on her back, all the other stuff, and provided for her and made sure she got the things that she needed to the point where she could sit here and call you, be like, Daddy, and bat her eyes, and she would literally get the fucking world. This girl knows
You know what she told me yesterday?
what.
She told me she's cute and adorable, and that's how she's gonna get her way with me.
And she's right. I mean, I can't even be mad at her. Your daughter is low key an asshole. She is a version of you I can't even
Ain't no
touch.
low key. That's very high key.
You right. She is very high key you. Because I still can't believe that she said what she said about that whole girl. What was it? That the girl who got a boyfriend and stuff?
Can't believe she said that either.
We ain't gonna talk about that. So.
I cannot believe she said that.
But the reason why I say this is because the thing is, the perception that you give your children, and as a person who is very observant, even as a child, again, I always have to remind people, I was a very, very intelligent child, so I paid attention to everything, and I have to thank my mother for that. My mom has always made me question things and be very aware of my surroundings, and then when we did get into the abusive situation, I was a very good strategist, and I knew how to kind of keep myself together while still protecting my mother and protecting my brothers. And my mom, I know she did as much as she can within the jurisdiction she can, but I've always been a chess player essentially because I did play chess growing up. I always thought about everything and how I can possibly form out three or four different moves ahead, and I play to win. I always do. But When you have children, we look and pay attention to our parents' mannerisms, and we typically, just like when we're in relationships, we tend to copy our partner's mannerisms. God, I can't speak words today. That's what happens when you
It's
drink
okay.
wine before a podcast.
No, so let's not even talk about that.
Anyway, shoot. So it's just like you typically. Even as children, we get our parents' mannerisms, and I have a lot of both my dad and my mother within me. So for me to literally find, because I have a lot of the good and the bad quality of my parents, while my partner has a lot of the good qualities. And the thing is, like, it's weird because when I literally say he's my mother, it's funny. I've never dated a man who's more like my mother than anybody. My mom would literally disappear off the face of the fucking earth. My dad, no, I gotta talk to this dude at least once a week. It's like, it's weird because I'm almost my dad in the situation with my partner, while my partner is more like my mother, where I'm like, if I don't call you, I don't hear from you. Like, which is real fucked up. And I can't even be mad because it is what it is. And my mom already likes him. It's just real bad. She hasn't met him, but she already likes him.
I
And
like them too.
you the only person who has met him and talked to him at this point. But I digress. So it's just like, for me, it's weird because it's like I'm literally dealing with somebody who has more of my mother's mannerisms than anything. And I haven't really had to deal with my mom to this extent in a long time. We didn't really start getting real connected again until like 2017 when my grandmother passed. So it's like, it's weird for me to deal with that when I'm so used to dating guys or females who are more close to my dad in mannerisms, and for me to be dating someone who has both of their qualities, chapu, man, he's already mine. I'm not trying to lose him. Like, at this point in time, I'm trying to keep him, and it seems like he don't want to leave at some point in time. He's just gonna have to get it figured out. Figure your life out, homie. You stuck now. Welcome to death row. But I mean, that's just it. To me, it's weird because I have a lot of my dad's mannerisms now, where I used to have a lot of my mom's mannerisms, and it's weird because I'll sit down and look at myself and be like, damn, I sound like my damn daddy right now. Damn, I sound like my mom right now.
Listen, I've never had the I sound like my mom situations, but I've had a couple of the I sound like my dad
Oh,
situations.
you
But
definitely sound like granddaddy a lot. I'm not even gonna hold you. And
I try not to because I want my own identity, if that makes sense.
that's the thing, like, don't get us wrong, like, we do have our own identity outside of our parents, but we have a lot of their same mannerisms and we just remixed it. That's the best way that somebody literally said it. I don't know if you seen the shirt. The parental shirts that are going out around now, where it's like the OG and then their child is like the remix and
Yeah,
stuff like that. And that's literally what we are. We're the remix version of our parents. We're more evolved. We're a little bit more different. We got a little bit of tweaks here and there. You know, we got a little bit of we got some more base, if you want to go with
yeah,
that. Like,
because they work to make us better, you know.
oh, 100%, 100%, and that's just it. But
I can
more.
tell you right now, my daughter lives. At her age, she lived a way better life than I do, than I did at her age. I didn't have a phone at her age. I didn't have almost every pair of Jordans that came out at her age. I damn sure wanted to design her clothes at her age.
I promise to the gods, whatever man or woman that your daughter decides to date, they gonna have hell to pay. That girl is literally a fucking princess. She'd be like, if you can't buy it for me, I can buy it for my motherfucking self. Or daddy will buy it for me.
Definitely will be.
Fucking
Do you know how that would make somebody feel?
degraded. She
Exactly.
gonna have to have a baller, shot collar, 20-inch blades.
They gonna have to match her fly real crazy.
For real, because she already know what's up. And the thing is, like, there's nothing wrong with giving your child the world. And I have to say it like this. It's nothing wrong with giving your children the world. And I hate that I'm gonna do this because I don't want to put his shit on blast. But the thing is, a conversation that me and my partner had, because recently, or as of today, his daughter's birthday was today, and he told me
Happy birthday
how
to her.
she turned 16. Happy birthday to her. The thing is, like, he told me that he wants to give his child the world, and I had to tell him, I was like, you being present in her life is more gift than you may know. Because the thing is, for you to be a full-time dad, why some people don't even have a dad in their lives, one, or two, they don't have a dad because of a bitter baby mama, or three, they don't have a dad in their lives because they're not living and breathing. Because, you know, being a black man in America is still fucking hard as fuck. It's just like, you being there is more than enough. And I get that you want to give her the world. You want to give her gems. You want to give her pearls. You're giving her life lessons. I feel like that has more value than it, than material possessions. And the thing
I
is,
agree.
like, you can sit here and buy her shit all day, every day, no problem. But here's where that's going to hinder her. When she sits here and you buy her everything, you full blown pay for her school scholarships, this, that, and the third, she gets everything handed to her on a silver spoon. What if she doesn't? What if she becomes an adult and you can't afford to keep giving her the world? What if it that she becomes an adult and she's not self-sufficient? Now she's looking for a man to take care of her. Sometimes it gets it sometimes giving your daughter the world without a healthy understanding can actually hinder them versus help them. And the thing is, I had to tell my dad a lot of times, I'm like, you didn't give me everything. And that's something I could I appreciate now as an adult, because the thing is, my brother and my sister got everything in the fucking world. My sister, she basically, you know, she pays her own bills. She's really good about micromanaging. But I feel like one of my siblings is gonna get fucked over, because one of them, at this point in time, they get everything they fucking heart's desire, and they don't know how to not have shit.
Yeah, that's definitely not, good at all times.
Exactly. So either a lot of shit can backfire on them. And the thing is, like, you know, giving your daughter a lot of stuff, you, one thing I have to say, because I can use you in as an example of a person who does it right. Not only do you give your daughter the world, you also educate her about things in the world. You also tell her about the things in the world, and you're trying to balance her. Yeah, you may not give her all the nitty-gritty, the dirt, the bad, the ugly, but you at least, as slowly but surely, as she's getting older, you're educating her on, okay, daddy's giving you this, but you gotta understand the reason why daddy is able to give you this, the reason why I'm able to do this, that daddy's not gonna be able to do this all the time, that when you become an adult, you're gonna have to get it yourself, that you're gonna have to work hard. You're trying to educate her along the way, where other people are just, the moment they bat their eyes, oh, daddy, can I get a new Ferrari? Now they got a new fucking Ferrari. You ain't work for it, you ain't do nothing. Your daughter's at least doing stuff to get it, to earn it. And again, that can hinder. So then they're working for those rewards versus a person who just bats their eyes and just exists, and now all of a sudden they got it. So now when they get out in the world and you now cut them off, now they're looking for somebody who is going to basically, oh, well, I never want to work. I just want all this XYZ. Now they're a trophy wife. They're not working for their shit.
And that's why I think at like the age of 16, 17, just have my child get a summer job. Like this is what life is when you're grown.
And that's
Yeah,
a healthy thing.
you're not gonna pay bills, obviously, but you're gonna go out, you're gonna go to this job every day, and you're gonna understand why. You're gonna understand that this is what you do to get what you want.
Exactly. And the thing is, you don't want to hinder your children. Like, I get that we want to sit here and provide and make a better life for our kids so they don't have the same upbringing that we had. So you want to give them all the things that you couldn't get when you were a child. But sometimes it can actually hinder them. And the thing is, it could put them in bad relationships growing up, or into bad relationships where they're starved or deprived or feel as though that the only way for them to can maintain that lifestyle they had growing up with their parents is to be in these trophy wife or trophy husband situations where now you have to be under somebody who basically said, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have any of this shit.
And that's something that I'm definitely going to keep her away from.
Exactly. And that's where that opens that door for manipulation, gaslighting, and full-blown psychopathic and manipulative behavior. You have to be very careful with that. So I try to remind people sometimes giving them material possessions is not 100% helpful. Those life lessons are. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't want them to go through hardships. I'm like, compared to the shit that our grandparents and great parents' grandparents had to go through as people of color, they went through worse shit. The shit that we go through now is nothing comparable to what they went through.
Oh yeah, and we'll never see the stuff that they went through. We'll never go through that.
We would never go through that. Like, I didn't have to work. Well, I mean, lynching still exists, but it's not as public as it used to be. And it's not as bad as it used to be. So honestly, when it comes down to it, I personally feel as though that the hardships that we think we're going through now is not as bad. And the thing is, like, sometimes also trying to be overly like stimulating to our children and over caring and giving and stuff like that could also backfire, where now our children want to be super independent. So then we will literally suffer and never tell our parents what's going on with us because we know we can call back on our parents and we don't want to. Because some children will actually have resentment when our parents are overbearing us with gifts and showering us with stuff because they don't want us to go through the hardship. You have to cater to your children. The thing is, like, I read an article to kind of segue from the subject, but it's still in the same subject. I read an article today that we could have parent we could have the same parents but be parented the same different ways.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Does that make sense? Like, literally, I can me and my brother have the same mother and same father, but the way I was raised versus how he was raised is totally different. The parent
Different things.
Exactly. The parents that he got was different than the parents that I got. Like the parent my mother is now to my two youngest brothers is a different parent than who the fuck I had. My father is still the same person. I don't know how the fuck he's still the same person, and he's four kids in at this point. But the thing is, like, what the way he was with me is different than how he is with the youngest. The way that he is with the oldest boy is how he's different than how he is with the youngest boy. And it's just like, I don't get how it's still the same man, but the way he raised them is slightly different. Like, my dad also has a very toxic relationship with his kids when they hit a certain age. Like, I think, like, when they hit a certain age, he don't know how to like raise them. It's like, either we're gonna be best friends at this point, but you're not a child no more. Like, I'm not gonna treat you like one. I'm like, it's 14 years old. Chill the fuck out. Like, why are you threatening to kill the
You're
child,
still a
kick child
child at
out at
14.
16? You still a child at 14. Why are you threatening to kick them out? Like, I'm gonna kick them out. I'm like, what? Make it make sense.
Love your kids. How about that?
And shoot, at 14, he was saying the same shit to me at 15, so I don't know. Like, he's still the same person. Like, at 15 for me, he was saying the same shit. And he said that for just about every single one except for one. My sister got away with fucking murder. That girl, the way he treated her was like fucking glitter and gold until she hit this year and she lost her V card. Now all of a sudden he's like, I'm gonna bury her under the house. I'm like, bruh, like, this was your fucking golden child and she's not your biological child up until now. Like, I'm trying to make this make sense to me. Like, it still baffles me.
It is a baffling situation.
But like I said, it really crossed my mind because the thing is, I said this years ago and I actually said it to my parents, you have a favorite. And they're like, no, we don't have a favorite. We love our children equally. I'm like, no, you have a fucking favorite. You have a favorite girl and you have a favorite boy. And the reason I know you have a favorite, my mom, the only reason I know I'm the fucking favorite because I'm the only girl for her. But when it comes down to my dad and my stepmom, there is a favorite girl, which is my sister, and she's the favorite for everyone. And then my brother, the oldest boy, is the favorite for everyone. Now, except for the youngest baby, the baby, he's the favorite for my mom, like my stepmom. But the thing is, like, when it comes down to it, they have a favorite. And the way that they raise them and treat them is so different than how they treat me. I am the biological daughter for my dad, and I get treated like the fucking step-headed red child from time to time. My dad had to come and tell me, like, no, I treat you way better than I treat your brother. I was like, bruh, did you forget I used to live with you? Do you forget I used to pay attention how you used to treat the kids? I sat here and asked you for my PS4. I had to spend my own money at fucking 17 years old and buy my own PS4 while my sister would bat her eyes and be like, can I get a laptop for school? You bought her a laptop. You told me I needed to go to college to get a laptop. Like, how does that work? She asked for one, you gave it to her. I had to go to college for mine. Like, make that make sense. And I still didn't get it when I went to college. I bought it. The
Now,
fuck?
you know, when parents say, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, you know, they don't do it. I was supposed to get a car when I turned 18. Didn't
Shoot,
happen.
I got a car from my mom at 16. My mom gave me a car at 16. My mom gave me a car, but I think more or less she gave me a car because one, she got a new car, and two, I wasn't living with her anymore, and I think that was her way of trying to like make amends with me.
Amend.
Yeah, you know. And the thing is, my mom listened to these podcasts, and we talk about it from time to time. And we have healthy discussions. At first, she was like really hurt about a lot of it, but we have healthy discussions because I always have to remind her, I'm telling you my perspective. If you ever want to come on the podcast, we could always do yours. And as a person who is starting to learn, I'm starting to learn that you did a lot of the things you did because you wanted to get your life together. So I get it. But ultimately, it's so funny to me because now that I look back at it, my mom is the reason I love deep conversations. I love science. I love the way the mind works, and I love having the things that I do. Shut the fuck up. And I like my mom is the reason I love a lot of stuff. Like my mom loved music, my mom loved science, my mom loved intellectual conversations and debates. The thing is, like, because both my parents, my mom has a healthy conversation when it comes to me. We used to be able to have deep conversations. When I was super, super young, we used to have a lot of conversations. And she always came to me, like, if I ever felt like I didn't want it or I felt like I shouldn't be in trouble about something, to come and talk to her. And if I had a valid reason on why I shouldn't be in trouble, I can talk myself out of getting in trouble. My mom would literally tell you, I
It's
literally,
crazy.
go ahead.
It's crazy that you said that because that's how it is with my daughter. When she's quote unquote in trouble and she has to call me, I say, hey, all right, stop crying. What happened? Why did it happen? Okay, that's why it happened. What are we gonna do to prevent it from happening again? And we're going about our day. Like, I'm not gonna yell and all this other stuff. I'm not gonna whoop her for what? Because I need to know your side of it. I need to know what happened, why it happened.
And why you did what you did. So ultimately, when it comes down to it, I get it. And that's the reason why, like, it's weird because I think this entire time as an adult and even in my younger years, because I literally said this to a lot of people, even with my ex-husband, I didn't see an end goal. Like, I did not see myself where like I'm like, oh, I can't live my life without this person, like with my ex-husband. And it's weird because I even said that to my sister. I was like, even with like the dude that I was sitting here and was crying on the fucking internet over, like I did straight up did not still to that time did not see, oh, I this person needs to be a part of my life and I'm gonna have to fight to keep. No, I didn't see none of that. I didn't. But this person that I'm with now, nah, you stuck with me. We for lifers. Because the thing is, again, it's that balance of my mother the qualities of my mother that I love, and the qualities of my father that I love, and some of the qualities of my mother I hate. Like, again, he balances more towards my mother than he does my father. Then again, I haven't seen him really angry, but I see a lot of my mother. And that's just it. And I was just like, I am actually dating somebody who's closer to my mother than anything else. And ultimately, if I was to say it down, if I was to ask myself that same question now, am I the person that I want my child, my future child, to date? The person I've always been, except when I was super, super young and I was super emotionally unstable, I would say no. That would be no at that point in my life. But who I am today, where I'm true to my morals, where I still have my moments where I overthink. I'm a very bad overthinker, and I know my problems, but I'm very self-aware. And because I'm self-aware, I have the consciousness to make the decision what is right and wrong. I have open discussions. I have healthy discussions versus me blowing up in your face and being emotional. I'm gonna sit down and talk to you. I'm gonna say, hey, I noticed XYZ, this, that, and the other. I have conversations. Like, the type of woman that I am today is the person I would date as a woman. I would date me, if that makes sense. I'm already dating me. I was already dating me before my partner came in. But the woman that I am today is the person I would want my son today. The woman that I am is the type of person that I would want my daughter to date if she was part of the LGBTQ. Because the fact of being one, it's. I don't want to waste nobody's time. I don't want to waste nobody's emotions. If I like you, I'm gonna, and I like you enough that I want to be in a relationship with you, I'm gonna do things to make things work with you. I know how to pinpoint if there's something I can deal with for the rest of my life versus something I can't deal with. Because a lot of people get into a relationship the moment they find that one irking thing and they're just like, I can't deal with it. They leave out, or they stick it out to see if it's something that really can bother them. If I instantly know it's something that's gonna piss me the fuck off, no, I'm good. I don't want to deal with it. And I'll tell you, and I'll exactly, and I'll tell you about it. But the thing is, the person that I am is the person I would date. The person that I am is the person who would literally give the shirt off my back. I don't say it's a me or I, or I don't sit here and do those single pronouns the moment I'm sitting here and I'm in a relationship. It turns from just being me, I, myself, to us, we, how we're gonna do this. It's me and you, things of that nature, because that's what a relationship is about. And a lot of people in my generation don't understand that. You're still in that same generation bracket, and tell me, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all.
So, we have a lot of people in this generation where it's that whole city girl, city boy culture now. It may be different later down the line, but right now, we have a lot of people in this generation where they don't know how to be in a relationship. They don't know how to stay in a relationship. And so for when I look at, am I the person that I would want my child to be with? Yes, I would be that person. I would tell you where you're doing good. I'm giving words of affirmation. I'm not healed, but I'm healing. And I'm not gonna bring my baggage down the line. And I commit my flaws. I commit when I'm wrong. I'm very open and honest about communication. So yes, am I that person I would want my child to date? Yes. And I don't get complacent. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to evolve. So yes, I am that person that I want my child to date, my future children to date, and be willing to come to, and then have that safe space and comfortability to be with, and know how to know, like, okay, this is me time, or this is their time, our time, because that's what you need to do. Because even with me, when I'm with my partner, our generation is so quick to be on the phone while we're in the middle of the presence of somebody else, especially when we're on date night. When I'm with my partner, I will literally put my phone down. And it's not to like, I turn my phone down because a lot of people are like, oh, if they turn their phone down, they got something to hide. No, I
It has
turn,
nothing to do with anything high.
it has nothing to do with anything to hide. I do it so I don't have distractions. I don't do it so I don't be compelled to look at my phone because I have notifications from school, from Discord, from XYZ. No, I turn it down so I don't get distracted and I look through living in the moment versus living through a phone screen. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll take a picture of my food at that time because I am a huge foodie. But at the moment the food comes, it's me and you having a conversation. We're engaging, we're exchanging energy. So, yes, Again, back to the subject. I am the person I will want my child to date. Could I improve? Yes, I'm not perfect. Because I'm not. I overthink. I love too hard.
That you do.
I overthink 100%. My uncle literally has to deal with me every other fucking day whenever my partner doesn't talk to me because of static noise. And the thing is, I know static noise. I do. I understand it. But the way the overthinker brain is, we may understand it, but because the fact of being in a selfish place in our heart, because we're like, you're my human, you should at least tell me when you're about to disappear, we instantly go into this dark web of like a thousand tabs being up. Like, just think of like your computer getting a virus, and now you have a whole bunch of fucking pop-ups at the same time. That's literally what an overthinker brain is like. So it's like, oh, you're not talking to me, so why are you not talking to me? Are you talking to somebody else? What the fuck are you doing? Like, it's literally, it's a lot.
That's
So,
way too much.
and my uncle literally would have to deal with me talking about, so my partner ain't talked to me again today, so I don't know what's going on. I sent him a bunch of text messages, and maybe I'm being too annoying. Maybe it is. He's like, when was the last time he talked to you? I was like, about 5 hours ago. Would you let the man have time to think about
Exactly. Like, let the man breathe a little bit.
I don't wanna. I just wanna be there. Let me be his air for him. I'm joking. If he listens to this podcast, I'm joking. But it's just, shut the fuck up. You know I'm joking. But the thing is, it's just like, it's a problem of an overthinker. And the thing is, it's like, overthinkers
I
are
told
the,
you about that overthinking shit like 17 different times.
exactly, but overthinkers are the best and the worst. Like, we are a double-edged sword. We are literally the best people to be with, but then we're also the worst people because at the end of the time, we constantly need to be reassured, and we literally have a plan for every plan. We literally overplan so fucking much. We overthink a scenario so much where we're overprepared, and sometimes being overprepared is a back, it can backfire on us. So I literally tell people the way my brain is set up, the most modern way to look at it as, think of a computer, internet browser. I got about 18 different tabs open in one scenario, and it could be all different parts. Or think of the standardized test for those who are just getting out of high school or in college, and think of it, you know, Susie has 17 pairs of pants and three shirts. How many different, and three pairs of shoes. How many different fucking outfit outcomes does she have? That is literally how my brain thinks. But what if the pair of pants have a fucking, you know, pair, like it has holes in it, blah, blah, blah. Like, literally, that's how my brain thinks. So it's bad, but it's also good. It overthinkers are just, they constantly need to be reassured. We are not for the weak. We are not for the weak. That's the reason why for a long time I'm single as fuck, because I overthink too much and I don't want people to have to deal with that. Some people can't. They'd be like, oh, well, you know, I could do it. And then they get with me and then they realize they can't. I was like, that is for the weak. Stanley couldn't. And I'll blast this nigga's name online. Excuse my language.
Did you really have to just put him out?
Bruh, like, I that to this day, I still tell people, like, how you tell me you can deal with me, then turn around and tell me you can't deal with me when I blatantly give you my warning label up front, bruh? Like, I overthink. Like, oh, you just need somebody who can love you and you can sit here and show your dark to, and they're not gonna shy away. Shoot, the moment I actually showed him how my brain works. Oh, I can't deal with this. It's too much. It's red flags. Red flags where? Because I actually conversate with you? Like, bruh, get the fuck off my line. Like, what the
The term red flag is used over is so overly used.
It's overly used. We ain't about to jump on red flags and green flags again because we've already had a discussion on that on a prior episode. But on this episode, again, honestly, that's a question you need to ask yourself before you have kids, or before your kids get of age of, you know, self-awareness. Children typically be self-aware about it like 3 or 4, but they don't remember stuff from 3 to 4 unless you're like me, where you can remember shit from like when you were 5 years old. You have to be very conscious of, are you the person, especially if you're an active parent in your child's life, are you the type of person your child is going to want to be with? Because you are literally the first interaction of a relationship that they will ever be. That's the reason why, in a sense, it is good for children to be in a happy household, whether it is a single parent household or a both mother and father, or mother and mother, or father and father household. Because if your child witnesses you arguing and fighting all the time, or toxic behaviors, they're going to typically look at that as a healthy relationship, or that's going to be developed in their mind as what a healthy relationship is. So if your mother or your father literally has women come and go, or men come and go out of their household, they're going to think that's okay for relationship standards or things of that nature. So you have to be very conscious about who you bring around your children and everything else like that. Honestly,
it'd be years before I even tell my daughter about anybody.
Oh no, 100%, 100%. That's why, like, when it comes down to it, I was telling my partner, I'm like, I really don't care about what your parents think about me. I more care about what your daughters think about me, because they have more impact in your life than your parents do. Yeah, your parents are there, but your daughters are gonna always be there. Your daughters are gonna have more say so on me than anything else. And at the end of the day, as a woman who understands girls, because I've never had a child that never liked me. I've just never had a child that never liked me. And watch this be the first. That'd be the case. But I'm not trying to jinx myself, but I've never had a child not like me. Like, even with my ex, like, his children love me. It broke my heart when we broke up, because his daughter cried so fucking badly when I told her I would never come back. She was like, when are you coming back? I was like, honey, I'm not coming back. Your dad doesn't want to be with me anymore. And I didn't have to say that. I honestly shouldn't have said that. But I never wanted to lie to her, because that was the promise I made to her. She told me never lie to me. Like, never lie to me. And I told her I would never lie to her. So I didn't lie when I told her I may never come back. And that was just the truth. So ultimately, it is still one of those things you want to be careful. Like, whatever you set your children up for, they're going to see, they're going to witness. And some children even understand, when the older they get, they may understand, like, okay, well, you know, when they're at a point of like 15, 16 years old, they're like, all right, well, daddy's starting to date again, this, that, and the other, or mommy's starting to date again, this, that, and the other. When they're younger, when they're 6, 7 years old, and there's women or men coming in and out of their lives, now they're looking at relationships like, oh, this is okay. You know, our parents is constantly, I have a new uncle every week. Like, I hated seeing that in fucking Hollywood movies. Oh, that's my new uncle. How many uncles do you have? You don't see none of these men at the family reunion, but you got so many fucking uncles. So that's just it. So ultimately, just take your time with it, and just think about, like, the little things in life, and just ask yourself, when it comes down to it, are you the person that you want your child to be with? Is my partner the type of person that I want my child to be with? And if, cause like, just in case you have a son and now they're looking at their mothers, or if they're looking at their stepmothers, or the lifetime girlfriend that you have, is that the type of person that they want in, like, you are happy to be having your life? Because you still want that to be a reflection of what kind of relationship they have. Like, my stepmom, she stuck with my dad through thick and fucking thin. And honestly, if I was to date, my sister is the equivalent of my stepmother. And my sister, I joke with her all the time. I was like, yo, at this point in time, you treat me so good as a sister, I would like somebody to be equivalent to you if I was to date a female. Not equivalent to me, because again, my sister was with me since, like, my low point. And when I was at my low point, I said this a lot. I'm like, I needed to date a female who's equivalent to my sister. And it's just like, you have to treat me better than my sister. And it's just like, that's just where I'm at. Like, my sister treated me like I was fucking, like, a fucking... This girl, again, would give the shirt off her back. And the thing is, it's so funny, because the way she treats me is the same way I would treat somebody. So, in a sense, I would still be dating somebody who's equivalent to me. And it took me a minute to remember that and realize that and recognize that. And it's just like, I constantly have to tell my partner, I'm like, yo, like, we're in this together. Like, I had to even ask him. I was like, as a general, I was like, I asked him, I was like, hey, because he was going through it. I was like, hey, are we together? Are we in this together? I was like, do you remember when I asked you this? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. So if we're in this together, that means your problems are also my problems. I knew what I signed up for when I decided to be with you. And when I decided to be with you, that means I knew that you do have daughters. That means that you will be doing stuff for your daughters, that you will be taking on this art. And the thing is, his whole scenario or the analogy that he likes to use is, I'm on this journey. And I told him, I was like, look at it this way. Think of it as you're on this road on your journey, and you picked me up along the way. And I decided instead of going to the next stop, I'm like, oh, just take me to the next stop. No, I like where you're going so much that I'm willing to go on this adventure with you. So you have to look at it that way. So I'm sitting in the passenger side along for the ride. So you have to get out of that mindset that it's just me, I'm doing this by myself. Because I swear to God, if he posts up one more single dad post on his fucking Instagram, we fighting on sight. And I hope he hears this. I said that shit to his ass too. I was like, I be just letting you post it because I'm like, I'm not choosing violence today. Like, it irks the fuck out of me. I just be like,
Shouldn't be choosing violence anyway.
I choose violence every fucking day, but I digress. But no, like, I knew what I signed up for. And the fact of being like, when I told him, like, I really like you. Like, and when I fucked up and said I loved you to him, oh yeah, it was game over. Yeah, like,
Was the
bruh.
cutest thing ever.
Shut the fuck up, because you were the first person I told. And then I
That
told my
made it even
sister.
better because I gave you as much shit as I needed to.
I hate you. I hate you so fucking much. But,
I love you too.
with
If
that
my
being.
name was his name, you would love me.
Nope. Fuck you. Now, mind you guys, before y'all come for me, this is just our relationship, so don't come for me or how I treat my uncle. This is how we've always been with each other as long as I've known him. And I didn't meet him until he was a little bit older, and I think you were like 7. I was 7, I think. You was in your teens.
I was in my teens.
Yeah. We didn't
I was
actually meet
like
each
13,
other.
14.
Yeah, we didn't meet each other until he was in his teen his early teens, mid teens, and I didn't meet him
That
until
game was real.
it was very early, but then it was super late for when you would normally meet your family. So ultimately, like, me and him, we've been thick as thieves since. So that, like, this is like the older brother I wish I never fucking had.
I would say what I normally say, but I'm not gonna say that on
I feel you. I feel you.
a podcast. Just a nicer version. You can go to hell.
I love you
There you
too. I love you too. Despicable.
go.
But the relationship me and him have, it's just like we would literally go to bat or go to war for each other. So ultimately, I love my uncle and everything that he stands for, and I wouldn't trade him for the world as much as he says that he's gonna trade me for a bag of chips. I think I'm down to one bag of regular
You
fucking Doritos.
No, you're not even down to a bag. You're at a single chip at this point.
Well, I'm down to a single chip of Doritos because apparently, I told him I was going to go to V Sandbox VR without him, but it's okay.
That's messed up.
But with that being said, ladies and gents, food for thought to end this podcast to summarize everything we talked about today is this. Are you or all the people in your life the people that you're proud that your children is around? Enough that they are willing to look at them or influence who they date in the future? That's the question. Just think about that. Are you the person that you would want your child to date? Because honestly, you are going to be the first impression of an ideal dating partner. So for dads who have daughters, are you the type of man that you want your daughter to date? And for women,
Hashtag real dad.
yeah, and same for boys, like, just in case they happen to be part of the LGBTQ. Women, are you the woman that you want your son to date? And I have to say this very adamantly, and this is my sidebar on this. Women, stop babying the fuck out of your children when I say this. So don't do that, because now your children are looking for women to baby them. Don't do that. So I'm saying, for those women who are not babying their children, their sons, are you the woman you want your child, your son, to date? Are you showing your son that it's okay to be vulnerable, to cry? Are you showing that your son that it's okay to come to a woman and have a safe space and realize that it's okay to be open emotionally, mentally, spiritually? Are you that woman for him? Are you showing, or and for, even for your daughters, are you showing that your daughter that it's okay to be submissive, but also at the same time that, working out as a partnership? And men, are you showing your sons and your daughters that it's okay to have a safe space where you could be vulnerable with a woman, or if you could be vulnerable with another man, if you at that point? Because it, some people don't understand that the way that you are in front of your children is actually what's going to reflect how they're going to be in a relationship. So that's the food for thought for today's podcast. And we will allow my uncle to say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean allow, but do you have anything to close on this episode?
Nothing to close on this episode. I think you did an amazing closing.
Don't make me cry. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna go ahead and say it with this. You guys already know the motto. It is okay to not be okay. Self-love is the best love. Self-care is the best care. And for those who are tuning in, just remember, I do have a sponsor now. If you are not checking out the Stone Dragon, again, the Stone Dragon, for all your witchy and tarot card needs, make sure you guys check it out on Etsy, on Instagram. Stella is an amazing woman. She has been a very big supporter of me since God knows how long at this point. I'm sorry, God and goddesses know how long at this point. Make sure you guys check her out. She does do handcrafted jewelry. She does tarot card readings as well as pendulum readings. She is a very cool person, as well as another safe space if you would like to go to. And again, it costs nothing to actually be supportive of your friend. She also has a very, very, very cool TikTok, which is the That Witch Stella, as well as her Instagram was the same handle. Again, the Stone Dragon is the handle for my lovely, lovely sponsor. So make sure you guys check it out. Also check me out on Patreon for the weekend detox, where it is also my own personal stuff for the podcast, for my modeling, for my gaming, as well as my book that's coming out. I also thank you guys so much for tuning in every second and fourth Sunday of every single month. I know that we did have a glitch where there was no podcast episode. So just remember, guys, I love you guys. Again, it's okay to not be okay. Self-love is the best love, and self-care is the best care. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you again.